Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. On this program, we love to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called Ancient Future Christian Faith. And my great belief that our road to the evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. I have a delightful thing to share with you today, friends. It is a colleague, and at least one of the delightful things about it is that she's calling in all the way from England. Dr. Jill Ford, it's really good to have you. Thank you so much for making this happen. I'm grateful.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Jill, it's 8 hours ahead right now. We're talking to each other through the miracle of technology on WhatsApp, and you're actually not in your normal location, right? You're hunkered down somewhere else because of the Rona. Tell us, where are you right now anyway?
Yeah, so I am in the north of England, very close to the city of Carlisle, which is the border city. So I'm as far north in England as you can get before you get into Scotland.
I was wondering if it was near Northumbria, but you're on the total opposite side of that. Well, Jill, normally you hang out in a thriving metropolis called Ware. Actually, I don't know how thriving or metropolis-y it is, but it's much closer to London, right? Just north of London, where you are on faculty at All Nations Christian College, right?
That's right, yeah.
Well, before we get into that, let's just talk a little bit about how we met. I love to collect people. I don't know if you're that way, Jill, but I love to meet people. I find people endlessly fascinating. And Jill, for almost 20 years, actually a little more than that, I was the thesis reader for the Institute for Worship Studies, and that's how we met. And so just a few months ago, you were going through the final bits and bobs of your thesis process, and we got to be buddies then. Are you glad it's all over?
Yes, I'm really glad the writing part is over, because that was quite a strain doing that, not only alongside my job, but then with all the issue of the pandemic. It was a kind of blessing when I was writing, because we were in lockdown and I was at the stage of having to just nail my thesis. So there was a blessing in being locked down and having that time and space. But there was also a bit of a schedule of me trying to get it finished as well. So yeah, very relieved that it's done.
Well, if I could just say once again, I've already told you this before in private, but it's a wonderful thesis and unique. And after you've read dozens and dozens of these things, it's always fun to see something a little bit different coming along. And it was just absolutely wonderful. My guest today is Dr. Jill Ford. She's on faculty at All Nations Christian College in Ware, England. And she's calling us now from England, and where she's still in the Rona lockdown. But hopefully things are going to be returning to normal pretty soon. And I was mentioning to you before we went on the air that I'm anxious to get back over that way. And I'm sure hoping we can meet in person someday.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You're very welcome.
Jill, how long have you been on faculty at All Nations? And tell us a little bit about the college and mission and students and that kind of thing.
Sure. I've been associated with the college for 20 years now. So I arrived through the doors of All Nations in the year 2000 as a student initially, and I took the diploma in Biblical and Intercultural Studies. And I went there not really knowing what I was called to. It was more of a time of my life where I was exploring the next thing. And I'd been led to All Nations through a whole series of events. And so what was really interesting for me is that the training there, which is very much based for cross-cultural mission, really opened up the whole world to me. I'd been part of a small church, a small evangelical church, a regular churchgoer, but I had really no idea of the global capacity of our God and just what God was doing around the world. And so going to All Nations was an incredible experience for me in terms of seeing what God was up to. But I had 2 years of study there, and in my time there, it was really interesting because my background is in music and drama and the arts. And It was then that really God gave me a vision for the arts and mission. And I did a lot of thinking, obviously, through the time that I was a student, and realized that there was a gap here and that really the arts had so much to offer mission work. And so when I finished my course, the faculty invited me on to begin to develop an arts and mission strand, which was an enormous job and an enormous privilege. And I was having to draw on my previous sort of artistic education and my more recent mission experience and training. So that was that. But before I say any more about that, it's probably good for you to know that All Nations is a cross-cultural mission training college. We are international, we're interdenominational, and the main aim is to equip men and women for effective mission in God's mission to his multicultural world. So we have sort of four areas of our curriculum: biblical, intercultural, practical, and spiritual formation. So all our training is based around those areas. And so we offer a whole range from online to residential courses, and we offer undergrad, postgrad courses as well. So there's a whole breadth of choice. You can come from 5 days up to 3 years. But we are actually now the only mission training college in the UK, and we are the largest mission training college in the context of Europe.
Jill, do students come and live on campus? I wasn't really quite sure whether there are students in residence.
Yeah, so it's a combination of the two. So we have residential. We have been mainly residential up until the last few years when we then put our MA online. And then obviously due to the pandemic, we've had to very quickly move a lot more of our courses online, particularly the undergraduate courses. So it's been swift, but we've always had our foot in the door with online. But our preference, really, I would say, is to train people within the context of community and face to face. But with our changing world, that is becoming increasingly challenging. So we're adapting our curriculum, we're adapting the way we teach to suit the needs of students online. And now, particularly with issues around Brexit, that's getting quite challenging for us. So we are just thankful that we're able to deliver courses still online and offer those options.
I can imagine, though, that as with so many of us in far-flung and disparate disciplines and locations, that the whole Rona thing and the whole online thing has also expanded your footprint and outreach. Am I right about that?
Yes, it has really. I mean, it has given more people access to our courses. And I think the other thing is we're really recognizing All Nations much more as a global family that we can be in touch with a lot more regularly. So even last July, we got a huge Zoom call going, and we had about 300 to 400 people just come in on that. And that was arranged in a very short space of time. But we really started talking about our global family a lot more from that point, because we realized we could connect very quickly with everybody and through these online mediums. So it's really exciting. So we're having another global get together coming up in June of this year, and hoping that more people will join.
You have students undoubtedly from all over the world, and I can imagine that intercultural studies and the preparation for people to be in ministry is something that is also challenging, given the great number of cultural contexts that you're working with. Let's talk a little bit about that in just a second, but let me remind folks that they're listening to an episode of Ancient Future Faith. I'm Chris Alford, the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. On the line today with me, all the way from sunny, I'll bet it's not actually, England, is my brand new colleague, Dr. Jill Ford, who is a faculty member at All Nations Christian College in Ware, England, where we are talking about intercultural studies and intercultural worship and intercultural mission. Jill, could you just give us a thumbnail sketch of what the purpose of the school is, and maybe do a little bit of a thumbnail of defining those things for us?
As I hinted at earlier, it's a cross-cultural mission training college, and we're training men and women, equipping them to work effectively in cross-cultural contexts. I think probably it's worth saying that All Nations in the past was very much a place of training where people would come and then they would move into another culture. But actually what we're seeing now is that quite a lot of our students will remain in their home culture, but they'll be working in multicultural contexts.
So cross-cultural doesn't necessarily mean that I'm moving from culture to culture to culture, but rather I can be in one place and I'm trained to work effectively with folks from all kinds of cultures who are in my location, yes?
Yes, absolutely. You got it.
You were talking earlier about your own background in arts, et cetera. And it occurs to me to ask you before I forget about it. At our church, we're buddies with Dr. Diane Collard, who is with Artists and Christian Testimony. Do you know Diane?
Yeah, I know Diane very well. So Diane and I sit on Arts Plus Europe. It's a board, but it's also a relational network, which is bringing together leaders in the art. So, I know Diane really well.
That is so good. Well, she has ties to our church and to this area, and our church is supporting her mission and work. And we see them at least once a year, and we just are dear friends and admire her work so much. I thought your paths may have crossed.
Yes.
Tell us, would you please, how is it that your particular background in the arts, I think you said drama as well, how are you using those and working those? God doesn't waste anything. So how are those being worked into your current role and mission and work with students at All Nations?
When I was a student, I started to make connections between the arts training that I'd had and then obviously the mission training. So I began to see the potential for the arts in preparing people for a whole range of mission contexts. So, for instance, the drama side, I developed a series of performing arts modules. When I say performing arts, they were more drama focused. And that was really to help the students engage in very practical ways with different groups of people. So at a beginner's level, they're learning interactive games and activities that would be quite useful in a range of contexts. But then the higher they go up, they do something called performing arts as education, which is helping them to devise performances that have an educational dimension. So they can use those tools and skills to be educating people in communities, perhaps where certain issues may not be talked about, but if you perform them and create performance, that would open up a vehicle for discussion. So learning how to devise educational drama is one of the modules. And then the third module in performing arts is more around creating and designing and delivering workshops where you can be exploring a whole range of themes and activities. But these would be really good, again, with different types of groups that the students might be working with.
There are a thousand questions going through my mind. And at some point, we're going to have another conversation or two, Jill, if you have the time at some point, because I want to ask you more about that. Though I do want to turn the corner and talk a little bit in our remaining moments about your thesis, because I thought it was extraordinary. And I'm anxious to talk with you about it and to pick your brains a little bit about this notion of intercultural or multicultural worship. Can you tell us just a little bit about your thesis, what the thesis was, what you set out to do and prove? And then let's talk about how that matters anyway. Why should we care? And goodness knows we should. So talk with us a little bit about your thesis. Yeah.
Okay, so the thesis was called Worship Across the Cultures, Training in Liturgical Diversity for Students at All Nations Christian College. And really, it was to address a need in the students, because when the students come to All Nations, we have a range of obviously ages and experiences, but students that come on one of our courses called En Route, which is a 10-week training course, many of them have not really experienced worship outside of their own culture. So the purpose of the project was really to help them to understand that God can be worshipped across the cultures and to help them encounter, engage, and embrace liturgical diversity. So I really wanted to address this need to help enrich not only their experience of worship, but also to give them a kind of respect and understanding of the worship of other cultures as well.
Well, let me ask you this. At least at the Institute for Worship Studies, very often students will, through the thesis process, get a little group together and test some things. And if I'm remembering rightly, your thesis got together a group of folks and took them through several multicultural worship experiences. Tell us what they experienced, what they thought, and how are they changed through that? Because we've got to do a similar thing with just regular old folks in the pews somehow, I think. And I'm anxious to hear how and if we might be able to do some of those kinds of things.
Yeah, so it was part of the thesis. I developed a training program, and that was a 3 modules which were exploring Christian worship, worship and culture, and then worship, culture and liturgy. And for each module, the students took part in what I called contextual liturgies. And so they started with experiencing a Western style liturgy, and that's in the broadest sense, something that they would be more familiar with. And then I introduced them to an Indian Christian liturgy, what I called a multi-African liturgy, and then they had the opportunity to have a go at designing a multicultural liturgy, bringing cultural expressions of worship from different places together to create this multicultural liturgy, which was also multilingual and multi-arts and multi-voiced when we delivered it. So it was rich with ideas, and I think that was one of the most exciting experiences for them, was to have a go themselves. But the whole idea really was to help them to understand that worship is contextual. Well, worship takes place in a given culture and a local context. And so it's understanding that that's really, really important, and that Christ followers in every culture can come to know and worship God through their own artistic expressions. So giving them this taste of different cultural and artistic expressions, which are culturally packaged, was really helpful for them to see, wow, we can worship God across the cultures.
I can imagine that most, certainly North American evangelicals, but I would be willing even to say European evangelicals, and no matter ethnicity, are going to have a hard time with profoundly different liturgies and expressions. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think that's exactly what we need to be wrestling with. I was curious, as you were talking, in thinking about whether you have any plans to develop a, for lack of a better word, let's experience some other kinds of cultures in our worship. Yeah. To help the average evangelical guy or gal in the pew or the chair to experience something and expand their horizons when it comes to worship and liturgy. Do you have any plans about that, or has that thought crossed your mind at all?
Well, one of the things that we actually do anyway at All Nations every year is we have a multicultural worship day, which is specifically for worship leaders and pastors, and they can come from anywhere in the country for that, to introduce them to the whole topic of multicultural worship and also how you can begin to go on that journey with your church. So that's something that we do every year. But most recently, well, actually coming up next week, we're going to be doing a worship webinar where we're going to be discussing some of these issues and how, also in the light of the pandemic, how we handle a greater diversity potentially in the church as more people perhaps have been engaging with churches online. And then what does that look like moving forward?
You know, one of the things that occurs to me is that there is kind of a perfect storm in some ways against the notion of broadening our horizons in terms of different kinds of cultural worship experiences. On the one hand, the word multicultural is just so loaded, at least in North America, and I'd love for us to have a chat about that sometime. But also, in the more progressive side of culture, there's an enormous amount of fear of so-called cultural appropriation, and are we doing things in a mimicking way, or should we even be doing them at all if we aren't of that particular culture? It strikes me that there's a lot of pitfalls, but also incredible opportunity for the church right now. Yeah.
Every church is unique as well, and it has its own unique makeup, doesn't it, of cultures. Some churches may see themselves as monocultural, but there's diversity anyway within a monocultural church. I think the area that we're finding ourselves talking a little bit more about is the use of the term intercultural, because it's more focused towards the relationship that we have with one another first and foremost, and then out of that relationship, we're sharing more and more with one another, whether it's our food, whether it's coming into our homes, whatever that looks like, but it's out of relationship that we're building that trust to then express our faith and share our language, share our customs, share our culture, and that we are perhaps learning to embrace the diversity that we see within one another and see that as beautiful and God glorifying rather than threatening and being fearful of it. So we've got a bit of work to do in terms of defining some of that. But I think in the broader sense, it is important for the church to be adopting a hospitable approach in worship and inviting and enabling the cultures within the church context to be participating in a meaningful way as well, without one cultural group dominating, which has been the case for so long.
Yes, and doing so in an appropriate way and in a faithful way to that particular culture. I've often said I don't personally give a flying flip about style in worship. Style, for me, it's just such a tired issue. I don't care to fight the battle anymore. And style is contextual, but it also really doesn't matter. What I want to do is tell God's big story, major on the essential tenets of the faith, be liturgically faithful, scripturally faithful, but also, surely, to paint God's story, there's a thousand colors we can use rather than just a few shades of teal, right? So that, for me, is one reason why we ought to care about intercultural worship and see how other people are telling God's big story. I want to put you on the spot here just for our last moments and say, just off the top of your noggin, can you just give us two or three really good reasons why we should care about intercultural worship and listening to and understanding and learning from other people's cultural expressions on how they worship the same triune God?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I was really drawn to in my studies was when I actually was thinking and studying Psalm 96, which embraces this global vision of worship. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song to the Lord, sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim his name, his salvation, day after day, declare his glory among the nations. So I think we should care because we need to adopt this bigger vision, really, the vision that God has for all nations, that he invites all into relationship with him. And he wants the sounds of the nations. He wants the nations to praise him. So I think we should care because it's God's heart that the nations praise him and worship him. And that is expressed, as I say, in Psalm 96. And also that invitation to embrace others so that they do sing the song, that they sing the song of praise and declare God's glory. So one culture can't actually contain all the praise of God.
Well said, yes.
That is key. And so I think, and an important thing for us to realize, and I think as well, when we begin to experience the sounds of other cultures and the expressions of other cultures around us, we realize we're starting to sing the new song, the new song of praise will grow and grow and grow. And it's enriching, it's exciting. And yeah, I think that's the call that we have in worship, that we embrace others, we invite others in. We are to be missional worshipers, not consumer worshipers.
Oh, that's a good, hey, hold on. That is so good. You got to say that again. Dr. Jill Ford, say that one more time. We need to hear that again.
Okay. I think, it's important that we are not consumers in worship, that we are missional worshipers whose priority is to enable others. And I think as well, that reminds us that worship is to God and for God. It's really not about us. It's all focused on him.
Yeah, all that is so good. Yeah, no, you're right. Not one culture can contain all the praise and worship of God. Neither can one particular worship style, right? We can agree on the essential tenets. We can adhere to good, basic Bible believing scripturally ordered worship, but gosh, there's a thousand colors out there to do it with. Jill Ford, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, and I can't wait to come see you in person. And I want to get you on the record as saying that we need to do another conversation or two about this because there's
absolutely.
Oh, good. Because I know there are a lot of folks in our either podcast or radio audience who want to hear more, and I'm sure they're going to be zipping over to the website for All Nations Christian College in Ware, England to take a look at you and what you're doing over there. Again, thank you so much. I'm very grateful.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Folks, until we gather again for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this, would you? Surely, the road to our Christian future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, folks. This is Pastor Chris with one more important word before you leave us. Things seem to be opening up a little bit these days with regard to the COVID situation, and at Epiclesis, we are returning to in-person worship, though in some ways in a limited basis. So if you'd like to join us in person, we need to know ahead of time. Please just give us an email at info@epiclesis.org. As always, we will continue to simulcast our worship service on the Zoom platform and our Epiclesis Facebook page. For all the latest information, please visit epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.